Welcome to Difference Makers with Devin Dade, a life coach, speaker, and leadership trainer. Devin has the opportunity to speak with entrepreneurs, leaders, people who make a difference in the lives of others.
All right, so we're here with Mike Davis, great coach, great teacher, great guy. So Mike, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm originally born and raised in Texas. Been here, I think this is my 17th year here. I've been a teacher for 21 years. Married a young lady from Keokuk, Iowa, and that's what brings me here. But have three kids, Michaela, who will be a junior, McKenna, who will be a freshman, and my son, who will be a seventh grader. So just the roots run deep in Texas, you know, born and raised, and you know, you never forget where you came from. So that's a little bit about me.
All right. Let's just jump back to Texas. What do you like the most about Texas? Because I see that you also like the Texas sports.
Discipline and structure. You know, we every sport down there, you got to have discipline. You got to be structured. It's always yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, and the expectations that they have for all their athletics in Texas, it's above and beyond what it is here. And I think just that whole respect factor that you bring, and that's something that I've always sort of taught by and coached by is a respect factor, because, I mean, that's how I was brought up and that's how I was raised down in Texas, and that's what they expected. So I think I expect the same thing now.
Yeah, Mike, and I love the what you brought up about discipline, because discipline is the bridge that clears the gap between completing goals, and mm-hmm. it's that discipline and respect that actually builds character.
Right.
Yeah, so going forward, man, tell us a little bit about your teaching career.
Well, you know, I graduated college up at Iowa Wesleyan, and then after I left that, I got a teaching job in Davenport School District, taught there for 2 years, went over to Warsaw for a year, and then we went back to Texas. I always wanted to go back to my high school to coach and teach, and I had that opportunity. After that, we had the opportunity to come back, so we came back, and I've been back here ever since. And you know what? It's been great. It's been quite the blessing. You know, my aunt always told me, she said, God puts you places for certain reasons. And, you know, I just kept getting that call to come back to the Keokuk area. So I finally just realized maybe this is where he wanted me to be. And, you know, here I am. And then I wanted to do whatever I can or what I can do to make a difference while I'm here.
So, what sparked your interest in becoming a teacher?
I was a freshman in high school. I remember, I hadn't even started school. It was the summer of my I was just graduated eighth grade, and I was a small point guard that loved the game of basketball, and we just hired a new coach in our school district, a new basketball coach, and he came in, and I used to walk or ride my bike to the gym, which was about a mile and a half every day that they opened it, because I just wanted to get in the gym. And this coach, I kept coming in there, and I had this all old beat up basketball. And he said, "Hey, what's your name?" And we introduced each other. And he says, "Won't you put that basketball away?" He said, "If you want to play basketball, if you can get here every day, I'll teach you to be the best basketball player that you can." Well, I went continuously all summer long until football started. I went to that gym, and he was there. And once I got in the gym, no matter who was there, he came and he spent just a little bit of time with me every day working on something that was going to make me a better player. So that freshman year, I started going to high school, and I felt comfortable with this guy. This guy, I trusted him, and he never let me down. And you know, and then I decided, you know, he was also our history teacher. And I said, you know, This guy's made a difference in my life. At the end of my freshman year, I knew what I wanted to be, and I just had to figure out how I was going to get there. So I decided I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a coach because I felt like that's where I could make the biggest difference in people's lives, our kids' lives. And I knew I could because of my personality, but I knew I needed that opportunity. But that was a push that I got from him to strive to be a teacher and a coach. And after that, you know, I got into it. And from my freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, that's what I wanted. And then I finally got to college because of basketball. I used basketball as an avenue to get me that teaching degree and coaching degree. And so now here I am.
Nice. So you're in your career, and basketball was your vehicle to build on that success. Looking back when you was 14,
mm-hmm.
and when you stepped foot in the gym and he stepped into your life, and then you stepped into class and he stepped into your life again, would you say that this guy was a mentor for you?
Oh gosh, I know he was a, you know, like I was saying earlier about God put people in places, you know, that they really need them. And I felt like our community needed a guy like this. Our basketball team was predominantly black kids. And I'm going to tell you what, he came in and he could care less what color we were. It was all about effort, discipline, structure. And he just took you in and he embraced you, and he was a mentor to us all. I mean, you know, even right now, he's a superintendent in the school systems in Texas. I get a phone call from him every year, every summer, about coming back to work with him, because he said that's always been one of his goals, was always to hire back the kids that were successful out of his programs, because he knew we had the structure and the discipline. And so, you know, we looked up to this guy. And he never let us down, but he was a great mentor for anyone who wanted to leave our small community and make something of themselves in a way that he could guide us in the way that probably most fathers could guide their kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even at the age I'm at now, I have a mentor. I think being mentored and having a mentor is extremely important. Mm-hmm. A little side note here, how do you feel about mentoring?
Oh, you know what? I love it. I mean, sometimes we're mentors without even knowing we're mentors, you know. Yeah. But I know there's players that I've had, and you know, me coaching girls is one thing, but there's guys that I've made a difference to in their lives even right now. I mean, you know, yesterday was Father's Day, and you know, the text messages you get from kids that you didn't even know that you made a difference in, it's a special feeling you get, because you know you're doing something right. You know, not just for your kids, but for others' kids that might need that extra push. So, you know, it is a special thing, I think. But I think it takes a special person to be that way also.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's really important as far as having strong mentors. And like you just said, entrepreneurs, obviously difference makers like yourself, and people who take their difficult moments and they make success out of them, mm-hmm. is to come back and then teach somebody on how to do it or show them. And a lot of times we don't know we're doing that.
Exactly.
And so one thing what you said, I'm going to go right back, a loop back to it again, okay. is discipline.
Yeah.
When you have a disciplined life, that creates that structure for somebody just to look into your life and say, they have something that I want.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
Going forward, let's talk a little bit about your basketball career.
Okay.
High school, college, and then mm-hmm. leading up to the awesome year you just had as far as taking state.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, high school, we were one of the, even now, I think we were one of the winningest programs in the state of Texas on a Class 2A level. Texas, we have five classes. We were a 2A, but we never played a team in a 2A until it was our conference games. Ooh. Otherwise, it was always a 4A or 5A schools. this coach that came in, he knew we were pretty talented. It was just a matter of meshing it together and making us realize the goals that we need to set to reach. My whole high school career, we went 89-1 as a high school playing at home in our gymnasium. We lost one game. I made three state tournament appearances starting from my sophomore year. We were ranked anywhere from 1 to 3. Five, I think, was the lowest we had ever been ranked. My senior year, we got beat in a state championship, 73-72. My junior year, we got beaten in there, and we were 34-0 going into that, ranked number one. My sophomore, we were an unheard-of team, and we made it to state, and we got beat in the semifinals. So, it has been a wonderful career, but that career, the success that we had in high school carried me over to college, and I went to Iowa Wesleyan College, and I wasn't used to losing. So that was something that I had to get used to, but I also had to figure out ways that I, as an individual, could make my team better or to get us over the hump. Well, our coach brought in seven guys, and he brought myself from Texas, and then brought another one of my classmates that was off my high school team in the next year. So we had two players from my hometown playing on the same team, and the other ones were from Indiana and Rock Island, and he wanted a group to stay together. And all seven of us stayed together. So my senior year, we ended up making a national tournament. Upset a lot of teams along the way. I think I grew as a player and as a person even. Well, then when I became a coach and I went to the girls' side to coach, and that was solely by accident because I was actually a boys' coach down in Texas, and the girls' basketball coach stepped out, and the AD asked me would I fill in, and ever since I filled in, I've been in that position. So then I get the head coach job here after 1 year being an assistant with Jerry Jerome. And, and all I wanted to instill in this program that was now my program was I wanted it was all about discipline. It was all about structure. And that discipline was something as simple as if the bus left at 4:15, you need to be there at 4 o'clock so that you're not. I mean, it was things that I wanted to take everything that I did on the basketball court as a coach and apply it to life. What can I do to make these kids realize that they have to be on time because they have to be on time for their regular job? Working with other individuals to have success is like a corporate business. You have your supervisors, and then you have your little employees you have to work with. So I wanted to try to use my stage of what I was on and apply it to real world so that our kids got it and they understood it. And when they went to the next level to play or go in the real world, they looked back on everything we did in basketball and applied it so that it made life simple for them. So, and I can honestly say it's been a great success here in Keokuk, being the girls' basketball coach over the past 10 years.
And one of the things that what really stuck out to me is when you said that, you're going to use this stage. And basically when you say stage, everybody who's successful, what they have to do, they build their own platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because what in that platform, obviously, the people who are successful, what they've done for themselves and what right. they're adopting around them, is mm-hmm. teamwork makes a dream work.
Right.
And in that comes a lot of accountability.
Exactly.
Holding yourself accountable.
Right.
And so you instilled a lot of accountability in your program. How can you tell when it's working on your team?
Well, I can tell it's working when I don't have to communicate with the kids as much as I used to, simply because they know. And they know what to expect. They know that they have to hold each other accountable. And then now it's about them letting each other down as opposed to letting coach down. They do a great job of communicating with one another and the success of where we are. you know, each year we wish and hope that we work to get to a state tournament. You know, this is my 10 years of being here. I think I've been to state 4 times. And most coaches never get to go at all, you know. And I'm telling you, I think the success of that is because, number one, we work hard. Our mentality is we want to work harder than anyone in the tri-state area as a basketball team, like our practices in the classroom. And then we want to take everything that we do from that and then apply it to a regular game. And you can ask any of the kids that play for me either now or years ago, our practices are so regimented that our kids look forward to playing games more than practice, because our practices are harder than the game. So when they go to have a game, they're more excited, they're ready to go and cut loose and have fun, because now they know they're not at practice. Yeah. Where it's so stringent, it's so, oh my goodness, I got it. You know, it's the nonstop, yeah, for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know. So, but those rewards, like getting to the state tournament and then those kids winning the game in the state tournament, because once you get there, you know, I've always said it's a process. You get there 1 year. Well, then you work your butts off to get back. But when you go back, you do better than what you did the first time you went. Mm-hmm. You know, so each year we've done something to make ourselves proud of where we are as a program. And our kids have not disappointed me, and I haven't disappointed the kids. Each year has been a great year for us. You know, whether we exit in the regional semifinals or the regional finals, or we made it to state, it's been a great learning experience for all the kids.
That's awesome. That's something that one of the things that I live by, and you know, I used to work with teens, is mm-hmm. practice don't make perfect. Practice, it makes permanent. Because uh-huh. the more that, as you know, with practice, you do something over and over,
right,
repetitious deepens the impression.
Exactly.
And so if you, real quick on practice, mm-hmm. give me some of your philosophies on practice.
Well, one of the biggest things is number one, we never walk. Anytime they come on the court, they have to be moving. They have to be on the jog. They have to be on a sprint. Number two is communication. If I yell out baseline, and I point to a baseline, they must repeat that by yelling it out, assuming that a kid's not paying attention. Because if that one kid is not on that baseline before I start giving instruction, then that means they didn't do a very good job of communicating. So then they all are in trouble for that. The other thing that goes on is just the process of a regiment where our practice plans are based on minutes and time. So I might put 15 minutes on there, but in that 15 minutes, we could be working defense where it's constant talking and chattering. You don't get to stand off to the side and be able to watch and not talk. You have to be a part of what's going on. You're teaching your peers what's going on, because we do all our practices from freshmen to seniors. So I want all of them to teach one another, yeah, what's going on. And I want those young kids to look at our older kids as mentors to help them out. But it's just the regimen and the structure of everything that we do, and the accountability for all the kids. They have to be able to communicate and talk to one another. Or I'm telling you, they can tell you it's not fun, because I don't want to be that so mean that they don't respect what I do, but I want them to understand and respect the program and what we're asking them to do. So it's a tough regiment that they have to go by.
And as well as practice, one thing that I'm hearing from you is that in the secret recipe mm-hmm. of success, systems.
Oh yeah.
Systems will make you successful.
Oh yeah.
I love it. So what, you know, at this point, what got you most excited going forward? What got you most excited, most enthusiastic?
Our young kids. I mean, we have our youth program. One of my things as a head coach is I want to know who my young kids are. I want them to know me. But I understandably, I want them to know me on a This is Coach Davis. This is the head girls basketball coach. This is who you'll eventually play for. Not on a realm of how tough his practices are, but, you know, at that age level, it's about being, it's fun for them. But I want them to learn our system as young as they possibly can get it, knowing that what the fundamentals are. So I more or less get myself, what I'm more excited about is just the fact that our community, our school, our kids, our youth, they're excited about girls basketball. I just had my basketball camp and we had 70 some kids there. I mean, each year it has grown, and the excitement of it, it roars every year. And then even more so this year, because we had a wonderful run in the spring of going to state and winning that first round game. So the kids know the hard work pays off. But our system stays the same. They know it's all about the same thing over and over. It's play hard-nosed defense, and you push the ball as fast as you can. And then you use your athletic strengths to apply it to what we want to do. So I'm just excited overall about where the program is and where it's going and the youth that are coming up in this program.
I'm going to sign up real quick.
So, with, you know, one thing that I did notice is your energy and effort, man, and mm-hmm. and it, I think to motivate people, to move people, to coach, to teach people, those are two things that you have to have. So, what keeps you motivated?
You know, what keeps me motivated is to see a kid who I seen at the beginning of practice, at the beginning of the year, to see that kid grow as a player and as a person. That's my, like, internal reward. You know, when I simply ask a kid, I really need you to do this for me or do this for your team, and they go out and give me 110% effort, and they finally accomplish that goal, that really fires me up. You know, now, I'm one of those coaches, and they people said I talk too much, but you know, to hear me talk and coach, it's probably totally different than most people. You know, I am more of I want to praise you for when you're doing what you should be doing or doing the right things. I'm the first to high five you or to say great job. That's what I want to see. It's those verbal rewards, but then if you're not doing what you should be doing. I mean, I want to give it to you in a way from a fatherly aspect. Now, you know, you know what do we practice? What should you be doing? What can you be doing? Is that the best effort that you give me? Now, granted, I'm going to have to get on a kid and I might have to sit a kid. But I always go back to that same kid because there's no kid I've figured out that is purposely wants to disappoint their coach or their team. They want to be a part of something special. They want to be a part of it. And that has been just like the, I mean, it's such a huge reward just to see kids just grow from this person that couldn't do this. And now all of a sudden they can do it. And you see that look on their face of excitement and confidence, and their self-esteem is shooting sky through the roof, you know, and that's usually what keeps me going and keeps me fired up about what I do.
Awesome, man. And that's a whole different pool mm-hmm. is when you can come in and when you see people, that's the difference between a teacher and a coach and just people who are not is you really need to be able to put a 10 on the person.
Yes.
You got to see the best in the
yes.
person, and that's where you operate from. Whether you're acknowledging them to give them a consequence,
exactly.
You're still teaching and coaching,
right?
You know,
right.
And so no, that's marvelous. So from the coaches that are going to hear this, man,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the other teachers,
mm-hmm.
from the parents, from players, future players to come.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving, you know, this interview,
mm-hmm.
if you got to leave him with one piece of advice from Coach Davis,
uh-huh.
what would that advice be?
I always have to go back to respect. You know, I think as a coach, you have to respect your players. And I think you respecting those players means not making them feel small, you know, or not... getting on them to the point where they have to back up and really think before they act. You want to be able to have that respect to the point so much that if they wanted to joke around with their coach, they should be able to joke around with their coach, because at the end of the day, they're 14 to 18 year old kids. They are still kids. And I think the biggest thing for me would be respect, and discipline is success. Having discipline in your program will create some type of success. Now, it could result to wins, or it could result to that kid getting over the hump, self-esteem-wise. You know, so, but at any rate, discipline sometimes leads, or most times will lead to some type of success.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Coach Davis, we definitely appreciate your time, your efforts, man. In the community,
mm-hmm.
we appreciate the upholding name and the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We look forward to it somewhere in your basketball season, is sitting down while you're in the mix of it and getting another interview with
okay.
you. But if you have captains,
okay,
I want to see what you're leaking, the leadership you're leaking into them, because I know there's a lot of it. And your players, man. They respect you. They look up to you. And when you're in season,
mm-hmm.
you know, your name's a big buzz, and the team is, and definitely lifts the town up. So we appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Difference Makers podcast. Drive, develop, and deliver. Make excellence a habit. Be the change. See the change. Tune in next time.